Well, it sure looks like we're getting fuller and fuller, and I hope you saw the announcement that as we move into the fall, we're going to add a third service. And but you look great, socially distanced and everything there today. You know, sometimes when we read a passage in the Bible, it speaks to us, and we're convicted, we're challenged, we're instructed, and we're encouraged. And at other times, we start to read a passage and we breeze through it without much thought because we don't think it applies to us. Well, today as we continue our trek through the first letter that Peter wrote, we're going to read some things that I think will speak directly to a lot of us, while some may think it doesn't apply to them at all. However, I think if we will give our attention to this passage, it will say something to every one of us. I've entitled today's talk, A Word from Peter to the Older, the Younger, and All Those in Between. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. And then as we proceed, we'll break these seven verses down, and most of those breakdowns will be on the screen. But if you have your Bible, keep it open to chapter 5. This is what Peter writes. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God grants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now I want us to begin by unpacking first Peter's salutation in this first verse, those to whom he is directly addressing, to the elders among you. I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Note that this verse and this passage is addressed specifically to the elders. And this designation, elders, refers to those who are leaders in the churches to whom Peter is writing. Now, as we proceed, I'm going to say a little bit more about the elders, but note that in appealing to the elders, Peter says he too is a fellow elder. Now, I think that's something of an expression of humility on Peter's part, because as you all know, Peter was an apostle, and Peter was perhaps the best known of all the apostles, next to perhaps Paul. And he reminds his readers there that he is an elder and he is an apostle, but he also is a witness of Christ's suffering. Now, we're not sure that Peter was there when Jesus was crucified, but we know Peter spent 3 years with Jesus, and he saw a lot of the mocking and a lot of the attacks upon Jesus during that time. Those to whom Peter is writing are neither apostles nor witnesses of the suffering of Jesus. Now, this designation elder has a history with the Jewish people, and it has a broad-based meaning. The word elder was used among the Jewish people as a title for those who were leaders in their local councils or leaders in different cities or the leader of a synagogue, and also in the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, those who were at the top were called elders. And the early church, as it developed, adopted the form of government with elders as leaders for their congregations, much the same in the early days of the church as most churches today have elders or leaders in the church. Now, the most basic meaning of the word elder refers to those who are advanced in age, or who are older, or who are simply old. Now, a couple of observations, of assumptions were made then of those who were older that I think we still make today of those who are advanced in age. The idea is if someone is older, then they have a lot of experience because they've lived through the years, and hopefully that experience has given wisdom to them, and they have a certain amount of wisdom because of their experience. And that experience of those who are older is foundational to anyone who was or is going to be an elder. Now, I want to acknowledge those here this morning who are 60 or older. We said Peter has a word to the older, to the younger, and those in between. So let's start with the older. If you are 60 or over, would you raise your hand? How many of you just don't really know how old you are? So old. Well, let's see the hands of those who are 60 over. All right, now turn to somebody near you who did not raise their hand and say, "Hello, Junior." Now, let's come next to Peter's specific appeal in the first part of verse 2 there to the elders to whom he is writing. He says in verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." In his first charge, he addresses them with a different designation than elder. Notice he says, "Be shepherds." That's a different word, but it's a word that means pretty much the same thing as elder, shepherd. And shepherd is also a title. The word shepherd is often translated or rendered pastor. That's what a pastor is. And the word pastor also means shepherd. And what's interesting, both the word pastor and the word shepherd can be used as a noun in terms of the title or as a verb, which is a shepherd shepherds and a pastor pastors, and both mean the same thing. Peter calls these elders and pastors to whom he is writing to be shepherds of God's flock that is under their care. The idea of a shepherd caring for a flock of sheep is an image that's used throughout the Bible in the Old Testament and Ezekiel and many of the Psalms and others. And it's a word that's used in the New Testament. Even Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd. And I think the most famous reference in the Bible is Psalm 23, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, note in what Peter says here that the flock that the elders and pastors are to shepherd is God's flock. It's not the elders' flock. Elders and pastors are under shepherds of God and Jesus, the great shepherds. In most churches today, we do not call our elders pastors. Rather, we call the staff of the church, those who are compensated, a staff position, we call them pastors. And we generally don't look to our elders to do a lot of pastoring, but that does not mean that the elders of a church are not involved in pastoring. Elders do most of their pastoring, most of their caring for the flock through the staff pastors that are on the church staff that they, the elders, oversee. And that brings us to the third word for elders and pastors, and that is this word, overseer. So an elder is someone who has experience that has led to wisdom. A pastor is someone who has a caring heart for those who are in the flock as followers of Jesus. And the overseer, which is a word that is sometimes translated bishop, which the early church got into trouble with, having a hierarchy of bishop and elder and so forth, is those who are watching over them. This third title, this idea of an overseer, it tells us that the elders have the responsibility not of overseeing individuals in the body of Christ as such, but rather to be overseeing the church as a whole and the ministry of the church. That's what the role of the elders are. They're overseeing the church body at large, and the ministry of the church. This word overseer gives us a sense of the responsibility that they're charged. The elders are charged with the responsibility of overseeing what the church is doing and how the church ministry is being carried out. Now, in the third part of verse 2, and in all of verse 3, Peter gives the elders, the shepherds, the overseers, whichever designation we choose, three ways, and I think this is so creative in the writing of Peter's done, three ways that they should and should not carry out their leadership. And even though we don't have this on the screen, I want to read these all together and then we'll break them down. This is what he says in verses 2 and 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Now here's the first no and yes. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Here's the second one. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So the first thing he tells them, and not to do what to do, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. The first characteristic of a leader in the body of Christ, the local church, is willingness. Those who lead and those who oversee the church as elders and overseers should not have to have their arms twisted or to be browbeaten or be shamed into accepting position. Because if we force someone who doesn't want to become an elder or put pressure on them to become an elder, they're not going to be doing it willingly, and they're not going to be doing a good job with it. But furthermore, I think that applies to every position and every slot of service in the church. We can encourage people to serve. We can challenge them to serve. We can work along with them to serve, but we should never try to force somebody to serve in a way that they don't feel like they're capable or they're called to do. And when we force people into doing things that they don't feel like they want to do, I think it's our mistake rather than theirs. Now, in the last part of verse 2, he tells them, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, and eager to serve goes back to the willingness part. The second criteria here concerns an eagerness to serve, but not with the goal or desire to make something, to gain something dishonestly. Now, since in most churches, elders are not compensated, it's a volunteer position, this contrast on the third or second one here is probably more applicable to those who are part of a church staff who are paid. And we know that one of the two things that paid pastors get into trouble for, one is being involved with someone they shouldn't be involved in, and the other one is mishandling or stealing from the funds. Now, while paid pastors need to be and should be remunerated, they provide service and leadership in the areas of responsibility. Those who are paid should never take advantage of the church through dishonesty in terms of the church's resources. Now, because Peter wrote this, I'm led to believe that apparently there were some in the early church who filled various roles for what they could get out of it. And if you're doing it for something you can get out of it, I think you forfeit the blessing that comes to those who generously serve as leaders and teachers and youth leaders and the Stevens ministry and everything that we do. If we're not doing it for gain or for ourselves, it's a great blessing for us. Now, the third thing Peter tells these elders is that they're to carry out the responsibility, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Several years ago, when I was younger and thought I knew everything, I coined a term for certain kinds of elders who don't really get what it means to be an elder, and I called it elderitis. That's look that up in the medical dictionary. It's there. And elders who have elderitis, my observation is they think they know everything. They think that it's their responsibility to tell the staff pastors and the congregation how it's going to be. But that's not how elders in the church are to act. Not like cowboys. Now, we live in Texas, and so everybody's seen cowboys. Have you seen cowboys driving cattle? Maybe Ponderosa. Some of you are so young you never heard of that, or Gunsmoke or whatever. But or the Virginian. I'm watching a lot of that during these days. They get behind the herd of cattle, and they drive them. But that's not how a shepherd deals with his flock. The shepherd leads the flock, walking ahead of them and showing the way. And the most important thing Peter says here to leaders in the church is that they're to be examples to the flock, to the congregation. And this morning, if you're an elder, an official elder, or if you're someone who's older, advanced in age, one of the most important things you can do, one of the most vital challenges that the Lord gives to you, is to be an example to this church flock. Not behind them driving them, but in front of them leading the way. Now in verse 4, Peter gives elders a word of assurance and encouragement in light of these three challenges of how they should and should not carry out their role. If they do it the way God tells them to do it, in those three ways, Peter tells them, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Elders and pastors can never forget that they are under shepherds of the chief shepherd, Jesus. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want us just to acknowledge this morning, we already acknowledged those who, did I say 69 and older? 60 and older. Let's see 60 and older again. Okay, a lot of you are getting younger as we go along. I want us just to acknowledge this. I want you just to stand this morning if you are currently an elder in this church body or in the past you have been a church elder. Would you just please stand? These are the people to whom I am speaking this morning. Now, after these four verses addressed directly to the elders, in the final three verses of the passage, Peter has some words for all of us. Now, these verses won't be on the screen now. They'll be broken down. But I want you to hear this section again. In the same way with regard to what's going on with elders, you who are younger, I want to stop right there and I want to note those who are younger. If you're 39 or down, you're younger. Let me see your hands. Okay, if you want to turn to somebody and say, good to see you, old timer, that's fine. Now, in a minute, we're going to look at the in-between. So we got the elders who are 59 and over. We got the younger who are 39 and under. And those of you who are 40 to 58 are in between. All three groups are addressed here. So let me go again here. In the same way, you who are younger, 39 and under, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you. You know who that includes? Everyone. The elders, the in-between, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now, having addressed and instructed the elders, in verse 5, Peter turns to those who are younger and gives them some instruction. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Now, submit is a word that has been used repeatedly in this first letter to Peter, about husbands and wives submitting, about slaves submitting. We had a study about submitting to the government. Submission is an important concept. And unfortunately, some people have the idea that submission is really not a good thing at all. too often in people's minds, the word submit suggests something unpleasant. But folks, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. God tells us as we obey His word and submitting in the ways that we're called to, that we will be blessed. And I think here, this idea of submitting to elders is not limiting those who are younger than the elders just to those elders, but we who are younger, that was a mistake, I'm old. Those of you who are younger, we should be respectful and submissive to everyone who is older than us. And also, those who are older, according to what Peter says here, are to be humble towards others. But Peter has more to say about this in the second part of verse 5 and 6. I've already mentioned this. This will be on the screen. All of you, elders, younger, middle-aged, whatever we call it, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. The Lord would exalt us. Now, it's not just the younger who are called to be humble. All of us are, including the elders and including those who are neither young or old. All of you includes every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus and who is a part of the body of Christ and participants in the congregation. But notice what he says here about mutual humility, because Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3:34 that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but He promises His special favor on those who express humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the Lord, because God's mighty hand will lift you up in due time. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want God opposing me. I want His favor on me. Don't you want it for yourself? If your answer is yes, then we're called to cultivate the practice of humility in our lives. Perhaps beginning at church with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for those of you who go at school, being humble at school, at work, at home, everywhere we go, even when we stop at Toot and Totem and somebody wants to get our parking lot, we need our parking spot, we need to be humble. We need to express humility. And I think that includes all those who are working in the government, those who are police, that not that we agree with everything, but that we're trying to practice what I think the Bible tells us is a godly humility. Now this passage, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, concludes with a much-needed suggestion and a vital reminder for all of us. Verse 7, Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Peter is borrowing from the psalmist, Psalm 55:22, when he tells us to cast our anxiety on the Lord. Some people think that has an image of rolling onto God the things that make us nervous and upset. And some of us struggle with anxiety more than others. But every one of us, I think, from time to time, has some sense of anxiety about something. Christians have anxiety. If you're a Christian and you experience anxiety, that does not mean you're a bad person. But you know, elders experience anxiety. And pastors experience anxiety at times. Moms and dads have anxiety. Grandparents have anxiety. We all deal with anxiety from time to time, and we're called upon to cast that anxiety upon God. All of us who have been in the church very long or who've been leaders in the church know that there are times that churches go through that are very unsettling, very discomforting. I've been dealing for the last several weeks with the church I had served for 30 years after I founded it and left after 30 years, and they're going through a tough time. And I know there's some anxiety, and I've been interacting with some of the elders there. Now, why do you think the psalmist and Peter both urge us to cast our anxieties on the Lord. Well, let's remind ourselves that one thing we can always be sure of, and that is no matter what we're facing, is that God cares for us. That's what Peter says. Cast all your anxiety in Him because God cares for you. And I want to encourage all of us today, me included, not to never, ever forget this promise. Regardless of what our burden is, regardless of what the situation is before us, we should remind ourselves that God cares about us, but more than that, God cares about you. And He cares about the people sitting around you, and He cares about me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7 tells us a lot about church leadership. Elders who have the maturity and wisdom, pastors who have a caring heart, and overseers who have a sense of responsibility with regard to management or government of the church and her ministry. Elders and pastors have an important challenge and responsibility, but it is also one that provides a great reward and fulfillment. And those of you who have served not just as elders, but as Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and whatever service you've done, when we serve the Lord, it is rewarding and fulfilling. At least that's been my experience for the past 50 plus years working in churches. Those of us who are not elders and pastors need to pray for and respect and submit to the elders who are leaders. And all of us, including our pastors and elders, need to express humility to one another. We are the body of Christ and the family of God as a church. And we are in this together, whether we are leaders or followers. And as we practice humility under God's mighty hand, in due time, He will lift us up. He will reward us. He will bless us. And finally, when we worry and when anxiety troubles our hearts, we need to roll it off and give it to God, because we know He cares for us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege to be a part of Your family, to be members of Your flock, to be a part of the congregation here at Washington Avenue. Thank You for these instructions from the Apostle Peter, who is a fellow elder, with regard to how our leaders are to conduct themselves, and Lord, how we are to respond to their leadership. We pray Your blessing upon our eldership, upon our pastoral staff, upon all those who serve in so many different ways, and upon every person who is here today to worship You. Father, help us to live to Your glory, to deal with our anxiety by giving it to You, that we would never forget that You care for us. We pray in the name of the Great Shepherd, Your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hey, family. We're so glad that you joined us for our podcast. Friends, if you'd like to talk to us about Jesus, or if you have prayer requests, please contact us through our social media or through our contact page on our website at www.wacomline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, there are next steps on our website that we would love to go through with you. Friends, we're so glad you took the time to listen to our podcast. Remember that we're real people experiencing real grace. We'll see you next week.